Thanks, everybody, for joining us again today on Bridging the Gap. I'm Corey Graham, and I'm here with Judge Anderson. And one of the things that I know the judge really wanted to do with this show was to take feedback from the community and answer your questions and get that kind of information out to you based on what you want to know. Recently on our Facebook page, we conducted a poll to ask all of you how the Public Information Office was doing and what we could improve on, and we left open a spot for people to submit questions that we would then relay to our officials that were appropriate for them and try to get some answers. And today we're going to take the opportunity to answer a few of those questions with the judge here and see if we can get the information to you that we know you actually want. Judge, one of the first questions we had, which is a question on pretty much everybody's mind, is what are we doing as a county right now about the drug problem we're facing?
Yeah, Corey, that's a good question. Like I said, I think everybody's aware of the epidemic the drug problem is, not only, you know, and that's one thing we need to be cognitive of. It's not just Powell County. It's a nationwide epidemic, especially seems like Eastern Kentucky and portions of Appalachia has been severely impacted by it. But we're not in this alone, and kind of what we talked about on some previous shows and people I've talked with, this is not a issue that any one department or any one person can tackle either. It's a community and a, you know, a problem, and it's going to take community effort to try to address it. And, you know, I think we're pretty fortunate, and that's one thing I like about having this show is a lot of what's been done maybe has not properly been relayed to the folks, and so this gives us the opportunity to tell some of the things that are currently been doing, some things I think we need to do in the future to try to address this problem. Several things, I guess, has been done in regards to that. And, you know, even when I've sought this office before, you know, really as county judge, people would ask me what my strategy would be to combat the drug epidemic. And really, I think two of the biggest things you can do in my position, or two of the things I think can have a big impact, was naturally, I said, by positively in, affecting the economy. I think that has a role in it. Naturally, there's no one silver bullet to it. It's a multi-pronged attack. But I think having a more vibrant economy not only allows people to have more opportunities, but it gives them, you know, more recreational opportunities and things of that nature, which hopefully, especially as we got to be proactive in this thing going forward, and hopefully getting our youth having things for them to do. So economy, like I said, giving people opportunity, that relays into having more things, more activities in the community for people to do. So I think as county judge, that's one thing I've really concentrated on. I think we've been pretty successful in a lot of regards, and will continue to be, because I think that's very vital. Another role, I think, directly that relates to mine and the physical court's ability is, and we've pushed on it, but is, I think, in the long-term approach to this, I think it's vital. This is another argument for zoning. You know, currently we have areas in the county that seem to harbor some of these elements that mm-hmm. really bring this aspect into our community. So I think going forward, I've said it many times, I think with proper elements of zoning, we could do as much to help our law enforcement officials combat the drug epidemic as, you know, unfortunately, we can't throw enough law enforcement. Naturally, we're already short, but we're going to have to give them some assistance. And I think, you know, all of us elected officials have got to look at this and realize it's not just a matter of restricting. There's a lot of positive things that come to this. And I think proper zoning could play a vital role in trying to eliminate some of the places where some of the people that bring this into our community and reside maybe wouldn't be so easy. And so I think that would, you know, directly something we could do. I think in that light, then, like I said, it's a community effort, and we're very fortunate if our native population here in Powell County is filled with wonderful people that have a lot of very civic-minded, and we've had several of them here before. You take the Lisa Coffey, Janelle Brewer, Steve Donathan, the Spark thing mm-hmm. they've got going. They're doing a lot to really help, you know, especially with the people that have already been impacted, but, you know, they're stepping up. You take the folks at the health department that stepped up and brought the needle exchange, and mm-hmm. All these, that's what I said, you got to attack every facet of it. And some of these, there's, you know, there's two that's kind of somewhat dealing with it after the fact.
Well, and then you also have the ASAP group that's a collaborative effort with Estill County, and of course they're facing a lot of the same problems that we are.
They are, and they do a lot of work, I know, especially in trying to target the youth, preventative type things, as well as they went as far as had grants for Narcan and things like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess I can't express enough again. I think a lot of people, and it's easy to do this, you know, there's a kind of two mind thoughts on this. There's some people that has no sympathy. You know, that's their choice. They got their stuff in the mess. Let them get out of it. And then there's those that, you know, view it otherwise. I would contend that the folks that, and I would agree that we've got to have accountability. Everybody makes a decision and have to deal with consequences in some regard. But I think what really people that of that mindset, I would ask them to step back and think about it. Regardless, even if that's your mindset, you got to realize, even though those people are potentially made that decision, got themselves in that mess, it has implications on all of us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's where I look at it a lot of times, too. Some of those consequences are economic consequences for us all. And, you know, the epidemic affects everything. You know, we've talked about it before. Our law enforcement, I would contend probably 75% to 80%, maybe higher, of their workload is strictly related to this drug mm-hmm. problem. It goes back to our, you know, all of our emergency services. Our ambulance is another one. You know, right now we currently typically on any given day shift have 3 ambulances. Well, I can tell you, if it wasn't for the in some of the studies we've done, if it wasn't for the drug element in our community, we would probably be safe with at least one less truck.
And that's not just overdoses and things like that. Of course, those are people who have lasting, long-term medical conditions, even after they've cleaned themselves up as a result of what they've done in the past.
And that's what that's where I guess this is the ambulance alone one element where people don't realize, yeah, it does affect everybody, because, you know, somebody that legitimately needs an ambulance for some natural cause, such as a heart attack or something like that, you know, if you listen to the radio traffic now, it's very, very likely that on any given day that we could have one or two of our ambulances responding to some kind of drug traffic. And like you said, everybody thinks about overdose, and that's one of them. But also there's a lot of domestic violence and wrecks and things resulting from this problem, too. So it really stretches a lot of our resources thin. And so, you know, it has implications on all of us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was a lot of question when the in discussions about the needle exchange and things. And, you know, I'm very proud. You take a Powell County stepped up and relatively in the front end of the way the counties have fell in that was pretty early on. And you mm-hmm. take even as I think last week, week before last, I saw where Scott County was having trouble. So you always think of a Scott County, you know, and all that's going on in Georgetown would always. But actually, in this instance, Powell County's got it right and, you know, ahead of the curve. And, you know, there again, let's just go back, take the moral and ethical issue of drugs away, and let's just talk about it from an economic standpoint. And that was, you know, I think it should resonate with people. I think in anything I looked at, you know, preventing one case of HIV is probably about the equivalent of right under, I think it's 360-some thousand that lifetime treatment for that case would cost. Well, mm-hmm. if people want to look, in most instances, the working class people are the ones are going to foot the bill in a lot of these instances. So
absolutely, it falls back to our private insurance to cover the cost for a lot of these things.
It is. So, you know, if you look at it from that standpoint, you know, if I haven't seen the exact cost, but somewhere under $5,000 probably, this needle exchange they set up will cost Powell County. So, you know, if you take one preventative case, divide that 360 by 5,000, how many years does that
fund it for a while?
And that's not counting, you know, the HIV. We got the HIV, you got the hepatitis, all these others, and any of those are about $100,000 for life treatment. So it makes economic sense.
Well, and from a public health standpoint as well, I mean, a lot of the people I talk to, they were sort of the mindset, well, you know, I don't use intravenous drugs, so it's not something that really impacts me. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, if you have people throwing used needles out in the park, when you take your kid to the park, you know, and as I do with mine, you kind of have to scour the ground and hope that you don't, you know, find that they don't step on something or something like that. And I've noticed that it has, and of course, this is just my observation. I don't have hard numbers on it, but it does seem to be less of that. when you're when you're in public places.
And this goes right back, you know, there again, our first responders are usually the ones that are most directly impacted, and you take, that's all of them. This is our ambulance workers, our police officers, our firefighters. If they're going to scenes or having to deal with individuals, that's what I said, if there is a means for them to properly dispose of these, not saying that all will, but anyone that utilizes that program, that's one less needle that any of these folks have to risk. You know, they have enough risk and danger associated with the line of work they're in. But to have to deal with a needle prick and the implications, even if they don't come up positive, you know, they've got to be tested and and just think the mental anguish that puts them through. So, you know, every needle we take out of those situations is one less chance of one of those sticks or something like that. So,
sure.
And like I said, I think too, and that's not counting ever disease we keep from spreading has positive implications on our community. And I think one other thing people oftentimes don't realize about why we got to be proactive and take this drug situation is it has big implications on our economic development. And a lot of times people don't really realize that. But, you know, if you look at anywhere, and we're talking about Powell County, Kentucky, but look at the issues employers are having trying to find employees now, and and the drug thing is one of them. So, you know, naturally trying to ensure that we have the best possible work group available for them, and having these elements to try to combat this and be proactive is very vital to our future economic development as well.
Yeah,
plus the
absolutely.
Stigma associated, you know, if you saw some of the ones, far as I think everybody's familiar with some of the studies that's come out in the last 6 months or a year, you know, Powell County before our needle exchange and things were one of the communities that was most likely to have a HIV outbreak, probably top five in the state, I think. And by incorporating these things, that helps our standing there and gives us the ability to start to eliminate some of those negative stigma and quit having us show up in the negative light in a lot of these things.
Well, and I would imagine that beyond just having a diminished hiring pool because of people who are unable to pass a drug test or not actively looking for work, it's probably not very beneficial when you're recruiting new businesses. If you're a community that has a reputation like that, it's probably going to hamper. No, you're not going to have the biggest desire to relocate your business to Powell County.
That's exactly right, and that's some of the things we've looked at, and you're very much on point there, and that's some of the things we're trying to combat and get ahead of. We've been very fortunate in the last few years in starting to shift the tide of retaining and recruiting businesses, and anything we can continue to do to put ourselves in a more positive, competitive light, we're going to continue to do. So I'm very proud, not only of the work we've done, but like I said, all of these other groups. And, you know, I think a lot of our local churches have got initiatives and, you know, as far as working with the drug court and those kind of things. So it's everybody throwing in, doing what they can. And I think we're starting to make some gains. Naturally, this is probably something that will never go away, but we can definitely mitigate it and try to contain it within our community.
And I can tell you, I don't have hard numbers to back it up, but I can say that it does seem, of course, if you're not familiar, I'm also the director of the 911 center here, and it definitely does seem that the call volume related to illegal drugs that we had, let's say, 5 years ago, is not at the volume that it was then. It does seem like our overdose calls are down, our property theft calls, which are directly tied to drug use, they seem to be down as well. So it just from an observational standpoint, it does seem like we're moving in the right direction.
And one thing, of course, we've touched on in previous shows, but in talking about our first responders and some of the implications, you know, we didn't even get back to the basically most of these wind up in a jail in our court system. So, you know, there's another cost associated with this. And in doing so, if we can help that element, we really help the overpopulation at the jail and the cost associated with getting those people. And, you know, a lot of these people that are drug users, like I said, because of the intravenous aspect or whatever, have health conditions. So a lot of them come into our court system, they're going to be a county inmate for some while, and what that equates to, here again, it's back on us as taxpayers. We're paying for those people if they're not in state custody. You know, that's a cost we directly bear. So,
Well, Judge, thank you for coming on talking with us today about this, and we're going to come back tomorrow and try to answer some more of your questions and get the information directly to you that you want. So join us tomorrow on Bridging the Gap, same time here on WSKV, and thank you, everybody.